In this week's Panorama, Daniela Lazarová speaks to pianist Tomáš Zaruba about his album Slow Down, which is currently the bestseller in Paris.
Zaruba, author of the best-selling jazz album Slow Down, is a pianist of Australian, Canadian, Czech origin living in France. Although he was born into a cosmopolitan family of musicians and started playing the piano at the age of two, he opted for a career in advertising, and it was a tragic incident that made him turn his life around and devote himself exclusively to music. When Tomáš visited Radio Prague this week, I asked him what had prompted him to drop everything and pursue his life's passion.
It's the Bataclan attacks in Paris. That was a real shock for me. I was supposed to be in one of the restaurants where there was one of the shootings. And by chance, I was in Vienna trying some pianos. And then, in the middle of the night, everybody was texting me, sending messages via social networks and stuff. Are you okay? Are you okay? Because I live in the 11th arrondissement in Paris, and that's where the shooting occurred.
What happened?
That had a great impact on my way of seeing life. There's a famous newspaper called Le Monde in France, and they had a portrait of each of the victims that died, and I couldn't see myself named there with my age and my profession working in advertising. I said, no, if I die, I should die as a pianist. And that's how I started, to put things together and to record my first album in Czech Republic.
When you compose, you're a composer as well. When you compose, where do you seek inspiration?
It's in everyday life, basically. It just comes.
Are we talking about people's emotions, or are we talking about the environment? Is it a city that inspires you, or a mood?
It's cities, people, countryside a lot. The countryside is even better. The south of France, for example, or Prague. Prague is great inspiration. And the great inspiration I got in a forest just out of Prague, in a little city called Unhošť, where I recorded the album at Sono Records, Sono Studio. And that's the perfect combination, to be in a studio close to a forest with no network for your telephone and just focus on what you're going to do.
Your best-selling album is titled Slow Down, right?
Correct.
And I believe it's the best-selling jazz album in France now. That's amazing. Where did you get inspiration for that? And why is it called Slow Down?
So I was working in a like fast-paced environment, you know, hotels, taxis, air conditioning, planes, moving from a city to another for business. And also working in digital advertising was working with robots that operate buying and selling of digital space on the computers in less than 100 milliseconds. And when our eyes open and close, that's 200 milliseconds. So it's twice as fast. It's amazing. And it was also very impacted by the way we live today. I mean, we have so much technology, there's so much music everywhere. You just step into a shop, there's music. And it's very, very hard to find a place where there's no noise, just silence.
And where did the inspiration for Slow Down come from then?
It just appeared like that in the morning, like, yeah, it's a Slow Down. That's the title. It just appeared just in the morning. And I didn't know what I was going to play. I had some ideas somewhere in my head, but it was impossible for me to write it down with a pen. And what happened is, because I'm a painter also, so I painted the cover of the album, and I knew that was going to be the inspiration for the music. So I had the title, the cover, and then I went to the studio, and the first day was terrible. I was playing, and listening to what I played, I didn't like it at all. It was terrible. And so we had dinner there with the sound engineer, a couple beers, and at 2 a.m., the sound engineer says, I can't sleep at night. I've got insomnia. So if you want, we could maybe try and record something in the middle of the night. And it just came, boom, like that, everything.
Was that your first album then? Was that
correct.
Your first?
Right, yeah.
And a huge success immediately. You travel a great deal. Do cities and places you visit, do they have moods?
Oh, sure. They all have their own energy. They all have their own smell. They all have a different pace also. And
are you able to capture that in your music if you create, if you compose there?
Sure.
Does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. But like a city like New York, where I lived for 2 years, I could not write anything that goes with New York. Not today, because I'm more in a laid-back position right now, slow-down mood, something very emotional, not about the technique that you can find in some pianists all over the world. They're just, you know, good surgeons. They just bing, 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 bing. It's perfect. There's nothing. But there's, in my opinion, close to zero emotion. Because you cannot play Rachmaninoff if you don't know his life. You need to read and to understand how this was composed and what was his mental state at that time, for example. And then you can get into, you know, his emotions and give the emotion while playing.
What about Prague? A lot of people say they come to Prague because they like the slow pace of the city. Is it a place to slow down? What kind of mood, what kind of energy do you see now?
Well, as I'm living in Paris, it's funny, let's take it like that. Living in New York, when I got back to Paris, it took me 6 months to just get down to the Parisian rhythm. And now I find when I go to Prague, I find that Paris is too fast-paced.
You composed a piece called 1968-2018, is that right? And performed it, I think, in Paris.
Yeah.
Its premiere was in Paris. Are you influenced by political developments? Obviously, 1968 means a great deal to any Czech the minute you say that. And was it composed for a special occasion?
Absolutely. It was in 2017. I was having lunch with His Excellency, the Czech ambassador, Petr Drulák. And he said 2018 is going to be a big year for us because it's the 100-year anniversary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia in Paris, where the actual Czech center is, in Saint-Germain-des-Prés. And there's also the 50-year anniversary of 68, the Prague Spring, and the 25 years of the separation between Czechs and Slovaks. And he said, I would like you to choose one of these subjects and write something. And I accepted immediately. And
What's in it?
So I took 68, but not only Prague. I tried to bridge it with Paris because we also had big revolution in 68, May 68. It was a big movement coming from the youth. And so I tried to describe the before 68, the 68, and after.
How do you feel about vinyl records?
For me, it was not even a question. I had to produce a vinyl because there's the physical approach. I mean, the studio I recorded at has the best microphones I've ever seen in the world, the best technique, the best everything, basically. I mean, David Bowie was recording his albums there, Tata Boys. I mean, a lot of people know this studio because of its quality. And I said, I can't just put my music online because it's compressed. And you will not, the people will not be able to hear the depth and the 8 or 9 microphones in this great studio. So I directly went to vinyl, and when I was looking in Paris where to produce, again, it got me back to Czech Republic, because there's the biggest and oldest factory in the world in Loděnice, close to Beroun, and they produce, I think, something like 60,000 a day in low season. And for me, it's the physical approach, meaning it's you can see how it works. You can hear the sound. It's physical. It's like that. It's perfect.
So there's a special magic to them, even in listening to music.
Well, it's a ritual. It's not like listening to music on your telephone, in your with the earphones. It's like you're choosing a moment to enjoy music and sit down, maybe have a glass of something or do nothing and close your eyes and just travel without moving. And vinyl has this little magical crack that makes it really authentic and deep. And as the cover of the album is like kind of orange yellow tones, I chose to press the vinyl. I didn't want it to be black, so it's a special edition, and it's see-through blue vinyl.
You're an ambassador for Petrov Pianos in Paris. How did that come about?
That's really funny. Because in the studio, I recorded on an old Steinway C, which is a great model. And this one was from 1907. Beautiful instrument in beautiful mint condition. And naturally, at one point, I just went to Steinway.com, contacted Hamburg, spoke my best German, and asked, how is it possible to become a Steinway artist? And they never replied. I called, I emailed, they never replied. I was like, this is really disrespectful. And I was on a famous TV show in France, and someone saw this show, sent me an email, and he's a piano dealer in the east of France and Luxembourg, Piano Schaeffer, and he said, well, I'm working with Petrov, you should maybe talk to these guys. And that's also something that I really believe in, is that when something doesn't happen, it's for a reason. And there's always something better that's going to happen. So, and that's the story, because I met with Anna and Adam at the Petrov factory and tried the great pianos they have, the Ant Petrov, which is like a real luxury product. And they decided to offer me this position and to be part of the Petrov art family. And there are only 15 people in the world that have this status. So it's great.
What are your plans for the future? Is there a mood or an event that you'd like to capture and haven't done so yet?
I'm working on a play where the piano will be in the center, and something a bit with humor and piano playing. Because on January 31st, I gave a concert and debate at the Czech Center in Paris, and the director, Jiří Hlinica, said, well, it was great, you should maybe work on something like a play, because this was only improvisation. And the people in the audience were really glad to be here. It was not just a concert where you sit down and receive the music. It was interactive. And that has a lot of meaning, I think, for everyone today, because we have all these telephone connections, but how many people do we really see and do we really get in touch with physically? And that's less and less, I think.
So it's a better feeling for you than actually having an audience that is silent.
Exactly. Because they can react and ask questions. And I think it's always great to be able to speak with an artist, even for the artist, because that's the best feedback is from them. Once I did the album, it's done. But what I love is to get the feedback, like from mothers that make their babies go to sleep with my music, from an Alzheimer's center in Geneva, where they see great progress on the people that are affected by this neurological disease. Even psychotherapists asked me authorization to use my music with their clients. So I love to get this great feedback from the people.
When you made the decision to leave advertising and turn your life around and basically devote yourself to music alone, how rewarding has it been? Are you glad you'd made that decision? And what has it brought to you? How has it changed your life? Has it changed you in any way?
Well, I'd say I always had the music inside myself. I always played music. Even in New York, for example, I was working in banking, and in the evening I went to these great hotels where they have grand pianos. And so I've always played, but it's now that I only play piano, and that's it. And that's really rewarding in the way that all the people that send me messages about how they feel about my music, how they use my music, like architects design houses while listening to my music, some write books. And that's thanks to the internet. I mean, it's really amazing, and I was really shocked in a good way how people use my music and what they use it for. I could have never ever imagined that when I was composing and recording the album. So that's, I'm blessed for that.
Right, Mr. Zaruba, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for speaking to us.